2 hours left, and we will end the show with the Christmas rant because it is Christmas weekend. So we will do that.
I can't wait, Napes.
You all good?
I will be listening. First time I heard it, it killed me. Every single time. I can't wait. Well, did I say the first time? First time was last year. So I'm all in, my friend.
We've got a little NBA basketball on the left side, and we got a little NHL hockey on the right. So we're all good, man, you know?
That's right. Shoot the puck!
Shoot the puck!
That's right.
So, guys, just so you know, I turned Doug into a big hockey fan.
No doubt.
So now we, you know.
We a lot of times, if there isn't basketball on, we got hockey on both screens.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
You know, we go hockey.
Especially, it's starting to get revved up.
Yeah.
You guys know anything about the Golden Knights? Yeah, a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my roommate from college is their general manager.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, again, if you want to call the show, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The Kings and the Spurs tomorrow. De'Aaron Fox, again, will not play. And I think the reason for that is the Kings' next game is on Tuesday. And so this will give him, you know, a couple of extra days. So it gives, and it's a good opportunity again for, you know, whoever else is going to pick up the slack. Frank Mason's going to play more, which I think is good. And George Hill's been playing very well. And so, you know, just here's the deal. The Spurs lost last night. Mm-hmm. And the Spurs don't lose two games in a row very often. They have Kawhi Leonard, who's, I think, played in his fifth game last night. He's getting better and better. So, you know, the Kings, they're playing the real deal tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. LaMarcus Aldridge has been playing at an all-star level. Not so much last night, but I think this is the ebbs and flows, Grant, of the game with the Spurs, meaning Kawhi Leonard back. You got to kind of – where are the shots going to come? How – you know, LaMarcus has been so dominant this year for the Spurs and what they've been doing. And Tony Parker back in the lineup as well. Good to see him back on the floor because I know that there was a maybe thrown out there that he might retire and different stuff. Didn't want to see him go out with an injury. So glad to see Tony back.
Should Celtics fans be concerned right now with the way their team's played in the last few weeks?
You know, I would say no from the standpoint that it looks like they've had a couple injuries. Some guys have been out. So I understand because you started out, obviously, 0-2, and then you went on that long win streak. But Brad Stevens has that team playing the right way, Grant. It just, you're going to have ebb and flows during the season. I think they were on such a high that they're going to come back to earth a little bit. And but I think they'll, in the long haul, they'll be all right.
All right. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, the Kings again tomorrow with the Spurs. Doug and I are off until Wednesday. The Kings do play the Clippers, and then there's a pretty good team coming in the house here on Wednesday.
You think so?
LeBron James and the Cavs.
Yeah,
and
heard of him before. Oof, Grant Napier. What is it, 30?
Do you know that Jerry thinks that he's the greatest player to ever live? And he's in my top five without question.
Yes.
I can't put him number one, but here's what I told Jerry. And Jerry, I love debating this with Jerry because he always wins the debate. The fact that LeBron, in his prime, which I still to me is in his prime, but he could have been an all-star center, an all-star power forward, an all-star small forward, an all-star shooting guard, and an all-star point guard. How many players in the history of the league could have said that?
Maybe one, and his name was Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson.
Maybe.
Correct.
Yes.
Maybe. So, and I still am blown away by some of the national media that talk about LeBron.
Disgusting.
And it's like, what are they watching?
I don't know, Grant. I think that it's hate from us. From a place like I don't
get it.
I don't.
What's
either.
There to and the guy's an outstanding citizen, professional. I mean, what is there that you would not like about the guy?
Yeah,
he represents the NBA in the highest standards.
Yeah, he goes about his business the right way. He trains. You see, look at the way that he's continued to be able. And I think that you speak about this a lot, Grant, is science is always changing. He takes full advantage
yes,
of that.
Yes, he does.
The cryo chambers, all the different things, the Normatec sleeves that they use
yep.
now to help their legs and all the different stuff. He takes full advantage of that. That's why at this age, 15 years in the league or whatever, 33 years old, and he is now playing. Yep. When you say prime, it was hard for you to – you're thinking like, well, I can't really say he's out of his prime. That's the look that was on your yep. face, because looking at the way that he's playing, it is absolutely yep. incredible.
And you were so fortunate
yes.
to guard him mm-hmm. in his first ever NBA game, and I was blessed to announce that game.
It was different, wasn't it? Because
yes.
the buzz – like, I got to watch when Dick Vitale, remember when he did that high school game? And that was like one of the first high school games that we had seen on yes. television. And I just was sitting there going, wow, okay, it lived up to the hype. I mean, yep. looking at the kid, he could play. So then getting to play against him in that first game, Grant, the buzz, all of the press following him and all the different things, I was just like, wow. But then watching him play, he had an easy 25-7-7. Whatever it was, it just was like, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the build-up because Jerry and I were asked to host the Nike, his first ever Nike commercial for his NBA career. But so I remember the build-up to that game. But the first the memory that I will never forget is when he came out onto the court and I saw him in person for the first time during warm-ups.
Like,
and I was like, oh, my goodness. He's yeah. got an NBA body already.
I know, because when I took him down to the post, I felt it. I said, he's not 18. He's not 18, Dave. So I bumped him, and he didn't move. And I was like, because, you know, that stuff goes on in your head when you're playing. It happens really fast, but you can have these thoughts. So, boom, he doesn't move. And I go, boom, again, and he doesn't move. And I just went, damn, he's not 18.
Is it more difficult to guard strength or quickness if one player only has one but not the other for you? Is it strength or quickness?
That's a good question, Grant, because I was going to say when you pair them together, that's the special that is LeBron James. Quickness, let me say it this way. Quickness started to be harder to guard because the rules started to change. And when the rules started to change, you couldn't touch him. So that quickness then became a real big benefit. Quickness wasn't as big in the 80s when you could hand check
yeah.
because you could put your hand on and hold him.
Yep.
So that's where strength took over.
That's a good point.
I would probably go more towards the quickness just because of the way that the rules. That's what makes him so special in LeBron James, because he has both.
That's why, you know, De'Aaron Fox, who's struggling right now, and you always talk about this, when he gets stronger.
Yes.
And on top of that, learns
yes.
how to use his quickness to his advantage. That's when he'll be that guy.
He will shoot, because it's, you know, someone asked me the question. It was like, when should he use his quickness? And I said, no, that's not the question. I said, the question is, when should he not use it? Right now, he just needs to use it. And he'll figure out how to pair it and where to go, because right now he doesn't use it enough, Grant. I want to see him get into people and different things. And it's hard. You look at Frank. Frank Mason knows how to run a team. De'Aaron is thinking about running the team. Therefore, I think a little bit of his skill and the things that he brings to the game suffer sometimes.
All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Don't forget, 49er fans and Sacramento area fans, Akello Witherspoon is going to be coming on with us at 5:30. So we'll talk with the 49ers cornerback, who really, after a slow start to the season, has really had a very good rookie campaign. And then Willie Cauley-Stein at 6. Let's get to Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. I wanted to start off with just a statement saying that, Grant, for 20 years, you've made my life better. I drive a lot coming home from the Bay to the Folsom area, and like, to me, you're family, and I get to listen to my favorite King every day, so I wish you and your family, both of you guys, all the health and the happiness in the world. And then
thank you for that. I really appreciate
yes,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you guys mean so much to me. I can't explain it. Anyways, Barry Giles, the gentleman. What is going on with this guy? I remember that he was supposed to be some major stud, but had bad knees.
Well, you know what, Michael? It's funny. We were just talking about that during the commercial break. Harry practices every day, goes through every practice, and looks good, and has had no issues at all with his knees. The Kings said that they would reevaluate his situation in January, which is pretty close to happening. I don't know whether he's going to play this year or whether they're just going to say, you know what, let's start fresh with the summer league and then build up in the fall. But I will say this, Michael, he looks really good, and I mean that. And I'm not just saying this. He looks really yeah. good, and I'm not at every practice, but I talked to the coaches about him, and that they all have – he has a very high ceiling.
And, you know, Michael, I looked him up before we got him, and what I saw on the internet was him in high school doing things that you see guards doing. So I was really, really excited. Obviously, he didn't get to play that much at Duke because he was coming off of injuries and what have you. But if he is to anything close to that, boy, oh, boy, he could – they talk about Kyle Kuzma as the steal of the draft. If he isn't the steal of the draft, he just yep. – he really could be.
And I'll tell you something else. He's a great, with a capital G, guy.
Yeah.
A class act, tremendous locker room. I mean, you couldn't – if you were going to, you know, put someone in a capsule and have him come out, they'd come out Harry Giles. And I really mean that. Yeah. He's got all the attributes.
Yeah, great kid.
Like when Doug was running,
no doubt.
When it was nothing but class and
yep.
people. We could use some luck. And best of holidays to you, gentlemen.
Thank you
as well.
Yep, same to you. Thank you, Michael. And again, is it possible that Harry Giles turns out to be a guy that doesn't play that much in NBA? Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know Gordon Hayward was going to blow out his leg in the first quarter of the first game. I mean, there are no guarantees. But just the fact that he, to this point, has had no issues at all with his knees when he scrimmages with the Kings in practice. Now, you would know, Doug. I mean, that's not the same as playing the rigors of the NBA and traveling. But you know, it's a pretty good indication.
It is, Grant. And you know what I think is smart? I don't know if he's going to play either. But let's just say, I'm personally going to say, let's lean on a side that he doesn't.
Okay.
And they take the Blake Griffin approach after he got hurt and bring him back next year.
Okay.
There is so much value in being around the NBA and learning how to practice first as an NBA player
yep.
and the rigors and the physicality and all the things that come along with that and then the workouts and the weights and all the
Look
different
things. Look at Ben
Simmons. Exactly. That's a prime example. And then begin to put on top of his back playing in the NBA paired with that as opposed to just saying, you know what, you didn't play much in high school, you didn't play much in college, but here you go. That could hurt him more than anything. So I like the way the Kings are bringing him along.
All right. Again, if you want to call the program, you can. Grant Napier and Christy, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. And let's just say that we go by Doug's side of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, this is going to be very similar to this past year when the Kings had their two lottery picks and they traded their 10th pick for two picks.
Mm-hmm.
But I said all year, well, they really have three lottery picks.
Right.
Because if Bogdan Bogdanovic were in last year's draft, he would have been a no ifs, ands, or about it lottery pick.
Right.
And in my opinion, if Harry Giles entered the draft this year, mm-hmm. based on what I've seen in practice and everything,
yeah.
he's a lottery pick talent.
Yes.
So the Kings are going to have, once again, two lottery picks. They're going to have their own,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have Harry Giles.
Yeah. If he didn't get hurt, he would have been the number one pick, in my opinion. Now, maybe you say top three, whatever it is, but looking at what I saw, and I only watched him one time in training camp, and the dunk attempt that he tried blew me away, but also his knowledge of the game as a young player and willingness and coachability and all those things stood out. So if he's been doing that since that point to now, I'm sure he's gained a vast, vast knowledge of the game.
All right. And again, we look at that. Those are all positives. But again, I keep on saying this. Doug saw something in Kyle Kuzma before I even knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
I told you the story where I walked in to the station, I think it was 2 days before the draft. And Doug goes, we're going to have, and Jay goes, we're having Kyle Kuzma on. And I said to him, I go, why are we having him on for? And he goes, well, Doug wants to have him on. And Doug saw something in him so much so that he wanted him on the air. And let's just call it the way it is. He's the steal of the draft right now.
So far. I mean, when you see the kid, first he had that dog about him. And then how I paired that, I watched him skill, and I'm seeing him in his size and all that. And then I go meet him, in personable kid, and I said, where are you from? He goes, Flint, Michigan. I said, oh, okay, I get it. Because they come out of there and they're tough.
Yeah,
and
it's a blue collar area.
It is. You can see it in the way that he plays. He's not afraid of the moment, and he just gets after it. And that, now, does that gonna always pair to the NBA? No, it's or translate.
Right.
No, it's not. It did with him, and boy, oh boy, they got a talent.
That's where Kenny Morrow's from, who I told you from Bowling Green, played on the Olympic hockey
Flint.
Team, and then 4 years at the Islanders, four cups. Yeah, Flint, Michigan.
Man, can you? He wins first of all that cup.
Yep.
The miracle on ice.
Yep.
And then four cups in a row?
with the New York Islanders. With,
come on.
And guess who the captain of that Islander team was?
Who?
Dennis Potvin.
Potvin sucks.
Yeah. They had one of the great, I mean, listen, they had Glenn Chico Resch in goal. They had, I mean, some of the great names. Mike Bossy was a 50-goal scorer every year.
Wow.
They had Bobby Nystrom, who is the tough guy, who could also score. They had talent all over the ice.
What is the name of where they played at?
The Nassau Coliseum.
The Nassau Coliseum.
Right.
So when I was with, it was my rookie year, maybe it was my second, when I got with the Knicks, we played a preseason game there. And we pull up and I'm like, what is this? We go in and it reminds
yep.
of all those old, the
yep.
Garden up in Toronto.
Yep.
It reminds you of all those places.
I'll tell you this story. So Kenny Morrow wins the gold medal, wins a Stanley Cup. So I am home the following season for Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I have my recorder with me, and I call up the New York Islanders,
mm-hmm.
and I got a press credential
okay.
to go cover practice. And so I cover practice, and I'm in the locker room, and I go, hey, Kenny, what's up? And he goes, hey, you know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. And then I look over at Mike Bossy, who was but back then he wasn't Wayne Gretzky, but he was close to it. Mike Bossy was
– putting it in the net.
He scored 50-plus goals every year.
I gotcha.
And I look over, and Mike Bossy is smoking. And I go,
cigarette?
Yeah. And I go, Kenny, I go, he goes, oh, yeah, he smokes all the time. I go, what do you mean? He goes, oh, in between periods during the games and after the games. I'm like, this hockey, you know, back and forth. And I'm like, I'll never forget. I'm like, that's Mike Bossy smoking a cigarette. I'm interviewing Kenny Morrow in the New York Islanders locker room. It just blew me away.
Did I ever tell you the Keon Clark story?
I don't think so.
Okay, so you remember that game when we went down to San Antonio?
Oh, do I ever.
And we put that spanking on them,
and
Pop was like, that's the best team I've seen.
Right.
So halftime comes, and, you know, we're like, let's run. You know, it's a long way back there to the locker room.
Oh, yeah, it's a long walk.
I'm running, and Brother Keon had already ran. So by the time I get in there, you know, when you walk in the locker room, I don't see him. And I'm like, oh, because I was running because I got to go to the bathroom. So I'm going to the bathroom, and I hear this noise behind me. And I'm like, what is that? So I'm going, and I turn around and look, and Brother Keon is having a smoke and blowing the smoke out. He's standing on top of the toilet blowing the smoke through
the
vent.
Ceiling. Unbelievable.
It was all time.
You know what? No words, man. You know what?
I love
Keon
our team.
Clark. They, unbelievable.
He was a great guy, man. He was. He was a lot of fun.
Those were some good old days. But so you know, you know what? I'll tell you this, and I've always said this, and we reminisce over the holidays a lot. I can't tell you how unbelievably cool, and that's the only word I know, to go to college, announce Bowling Green hockey games, and have two players on that team win a gold medal in 1980 because they were national heroes. It would be cooler, okay, and I'm being honest here, mm-hmm. than knowing the MVP of the Super Bowl or the MVP of the World Series.
No doubt.
These were national heroes. And every single – I'll never forget this. The game against the Russians was not shown live. It was played on Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And it was shown on TV in America on Friday evening.
Imagine that.
And I'll never forget this. My fraternity had a huge party that night.
For the game.
No, it wasn't for the game that night. And I remember being this huge, because it wasn't in the house. It was at another area. And they brought out TVs so that the people that wanted to watch the hockey game, and you know me, I didn't miss one second of the hockey game.
Right.
And we already had known that the U.S. were going to win because you couldn't keep that a secret even back then without the internet, without phones and everything. And it was like, I mean, I remember where I was. I stood and watched the whole game. We didn't sit down. It was, you know, they brought the TV out on like a...
on a keg.
Yeah, on a keg. Thank you. Yeah. I just couldn't think of the word. Yeah. Where's I love Doug Christie, but seriously, I remember that, and then the game against Sweden for the gold medal was shown live.
Oh wow!
And I remember because my brother went up to Lake Placid, and he was there. He didn't get in for the game. He couldn't get into the game, but he was there and told me what it was like to be in Lake Placid after the U.S. won. And they had to come from behind in the third period to win. And, you know, the movie Miracle on Ice,
yep.
Herb Brooks was the coach. Yeah. And he said, you know, if you lose this, you'll take it to your grave.
Man, that is such a powerful statement, man. It's just it is, because for anybody who's played sports, and that's on yep. any level, moments that it's regret, but it hurts.
I will say this, and I think to this day in this country, it's the greatest upset in the history of sports in the United States. And Chris, and you know me, I don't follow soccer, but I talked to Chris about this because he's, you know, I think when Leicester City won the World Cup last year, that may be the greatest upset in the history of sports. Right, Chris? I mean, could you make that argument?
Very close.
Okay. But in the United States, mm-hmm. okay,
yeah.
the 1980 college kids,
yeah.
no pros, U.S. Olympic hockey team, beating the pros
yeah.
around the world
yeah.
and do is to this day in my life.
Yeah.
It is the greatest upset in the history of sports in America.
And that's old school. So you got to think about physicality, all the different things.
1980.
Woo! Thank you. I couldn't argue with you, Napes.
We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140. When we return, Akella Witherspoon of the 49ers. That's next. All right. We are with you right up till 7 o'clock. Glad that you are able to listen. Traffic out there is just brutal, so hang in there. Just keep it here, and we'll try. We'll try our best
this
to keep you entertained. Right, Doug?
Yes, we will.
I mean, if we need some more entertainment, I'll just call up my wife, and we'll put her back on, all right?
Done deal.
You know?
I'm with it. They probably would want to hear her instead of us anyway.
All right.
But it's all good.
While we wait for our next guest, let's get to Mike. Mike, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Very shocked to hear Dick Enberg left us so quickly this morning.
Well, I am shocked too, but let's not. I don't think he left quickly. He was 82. I mean, now he.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't mean to be disrespectful. I was a huge fan of Dick Enberg, but I mean, he was 82. Let's keep that
yeah,
in perspective.
Well, I mean, it was a sudden passing.
Yes, yes.
But I was back there in those days. I was at UCLA from 67 to 73. And he was KTRA 5's sportscaster, and he did the games. And then we watched the game live in the student section, and then zip home so we could catch the broadcast that came on at about 10:30. And the team without, which had Henry Bibby, Mike's dad,
mm-hmm.
and Sidney Wicks, Steve Patterson, and Curtis Rowe, was not supposed to win. And SC was stalling in those days. And during one of the there's nothing happening. There was nothing for him to do as an announcer. And he started humming Raindrops, which was a big movie song at the time. And so the team called him, and they said, look, if we win the Pac-8, because it was the Pac-8 back then, we'd like you to sing that at center court. And we all thought that since he had such a great speaking voice that he would be able to sing. And that was the biggest mistake ever.
not so much, huh?
Yeah.
We were all sitting there going, why on earth did we ask for this? The man had a lovely speaking voice, but he couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. It was embarrassing to hear. Yeah, but the team won the Pac-8, and they did win the national championship 2 years. Sidney Wicks was the most amazing physical person I've ever seen up close. I mean, he was
good.
Strong.
Well, Mike, listen, we appreciate your call. Thank you very much. If you want to call in, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Akella Witherspoon is close to getting out of his 49er meeting, and as soon as he does, we will put him on as the 49ers with, you know, they've been playing well, but they've got a tough assignment going against a team this week that is playing excellent football in Jacksonville.
Yeah, those Jags, man. You know, we talked about them early in the year, Grant, and it seemed like last year, year before, they were saying, okay, they draft picks and they're going to be good, and then they weren't, and Blake Bortles, and we're beating him up, and before you know it, he puts together a few weeks in a row, and right now, yep. This is a team that if you are in the AFC, this isn't a team that you probably want to face.
Now the good news for the 49ers and Akello Witherspoon is Jacksonville's leading receiver is out this week. He's not going to play. That's Marquise Lee. So he's got an ankle injury. So that helps out the 49ers because, you know, again, he is their leading receiver.
Yeah, that is always, especially if you're a cornerback. you don't want to see the number one guy. But that doesn't help because they have a rushing attack, Fournette.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't play, I think, last week. So he's probably fresh this week. So, they are more getting themselves set up for the playoffs. So, let's say this. The 49ers have played well. They've won some games with Jimmy G, so they might make a good one out of this.
Yeah, they've won three in a row. I mean, you know, they beat the Colts. They, they won the game in Houston, which I thought that Houston, even with their issues, I was impressed with how San Francisco played in that game on the road. I know that Houston's struggling, and I know that they have, you know, and you want to talk about injuries. I mean, unbelievable, but... You know, they didn't score a touchdown in Chicago, and Robbie Gould goes back and beats his old team. And the Titans, though, had a lot to play for. And you know what? That of all the games impressed me the most. Titans battling with Jacksonville, and they had that drive, you know, and Garoppolo brings them down, the game-winning field goal by Gould. That was impressive to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about Jimmy G being able to put them in position and Gould kicking the field goal, those are the things that I think, and being in professional sports before, it builds such confidence in you that if you get in that position, this is something that we can do. You mentioned the fact with the Tennessee Titans having something to play for. I mean, they're trying to trend toward the playoffs, so this is a team that they're like, you know, we should beat this 49er team, and they didn't get it done. That speaks to the 49ers and what they're doing.
All right, so San Francisco now 4-10. They have certainly turned their season around as of late. They have won 4 of 5. Their loss in there was against Seattle.
Yeah.
And they played well in that game. I mean, you remember when Russell Wilson made the huge plays with his feet in the fourth quarter of that game.
No doubt. I mean, that's a game that if you don't have a Russell Wilson and you don't have a mobile quarterback that's playing sandlot football, you don't win that game. So the 49ers, and you know what, Grant? Early in the year, you had said this is, look, they are in these games. They just weren't winning them early on. Then there went where they, you know, started getting beat on a little bit. And then all of a sudden, now with Jimmy G, they're putting it together.
All right, so, and we would have, if we had asked this question back in September, we would have been, they would have closed our station down and we would have been fired. Here we are, December 22nd.
Okay.
Would you rather... Not even knowing what could happen in the draft.
Okay.
Just based on what we've seen.
Yep.
Would you are you more inclined to say the Niners or the Raiders are the team that's in a better position right now? Now, if I had said that,
yes,
you would have. I mean, come on. All right. And if I had said that even in October when the Niners hadn't won a game, but with the addition of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yep.
The draft picks and the money that John Lynch has available
yep.
with the defense. You know what? I'm not so sure I'm not picking San Francisco.
I'm not so sure I'm not either, especially when you talk about the coaching aspect of things. The solidifying of Shanahan and his offensive and defensive coordinators, his offensive mindset, and what we've seen with Del Rio and the inability from firing offensive coordinators this year, firing defensive coordinators. Yeah, team-wise, you were expecting more, but you got to look at what the 49ers are doing. And in being in the NFC West with the Seahawks, it's intimidating. They look to be in a really good position right now.
Amen. I mean, that's certainly worth exploring. All right. When we come back, it will be Akello Witherspoon right here on Sports 1140. All right. It was a pleasure before the season began to have Sacramento's very own Akello Witherspoon came into the studio, and we had a nice talk for about 30 minutes, and he now joins us, the rookie cornerback for the 49ers. Akello, it's Grant and Doug. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. And I just have to ask the one thing that you've learned more than anything this year after not dressing for the first couple of games and now playing as well as you have. I mean, gosh, what has this season been like for you? What do you take away thus far with two games left more than anything?
The biggest thing I've learned this year is just to go day by day, come in with an approach and just work on getting better each day.
You know,
it could be real easy to get lost in the being inactive and then starting and then kind of going up and down. But just with a simple-minded focus, it makes it kind of easy.
Akilo, I want to cut to the chase. Do you got a veteran?
A veteran?
Yeah, you know, somebody that you're a veteran. You're their rookie. You got to carry their bags. Whose bags are you carrying? What's going on up in there?
No, I don't have nobody like that. The locker room, they're pretty cool with me. But I do have one that I'm real close with.
Who is that? And to Grant's point, does he play your position? Has he given you any sage advice? Those type of things.
Yeah, Leon Hall. He's a 11-year vet. He was drafted first round.
Yeah.
And he was with the Bengals for 9 years, I believe. Mm. So he's the guy I'm real close to right now.
In what ways has he helped you?
Just kind of helping me understand the game in a bigger perspective. It's kind of helping things slow down. And then just with the emotional ups and downs of a game, he's always on the sideline, keeping everybody kind of grounded.
You know, Killo, you just said something, and you talk about the game slowing down. I can almost remember when that happened to me in both high school, college, and the NBA. It happens at each. Was there a moment for you, or is it just kind of something that started to happen for you? Because you can kind of see the way that you're playing now is different.
Yeah, definitely. I wouldn't say there was a moment. I just kind of been growing, and it's just been getting slower and slower. And I think with a few improvements and focus, it can even get even slower, and that's kind of the focus. And but just through training and practicing and building confidence, it's definitely slowed down.
Akilo Witherspoon of the 49ers joining us here on Sports 1140. I just got to believe that you all, with two games left, have a chance to head into this offseason feeling great about things. Just a new infusion of life with Jimmy Garoppolo, a quarterback. Can you just talk about the difference between the last month and the first 2 months and how the team feels and the direction the whole franchise is heading?
Yeah, it's definitely been fun winning. Our work approach has been the same for the last 16 weeks, and that's one thing I love about our team. But definitely when you're rewarded now four out of the last 5 weeks, that's a great feeling. And we just want to continue that and keep building confidence so we can try to go on a run next year.
You know, I can remember when we had you on and you talked about press coverage and different things like that. What has been one of the things that early on that you struggled with that now you're like, you know, I have really by leaps and bounds improved in that area?
Yeah, just being patient at the line. That's something that I worked on when I was inactive for the 4 weeks, and I'm at a place right now at the line that I've never been in my career. Just very patient, able to get hands-on disrupt routes early, and that's something that I didn't always use with my length. And now I think I'm kind of just getting my feet wet, and I can even improve more.
When you look back at those 4 weeks of being inactive, was that the most difficult period that you've had in your athletic career?
Honestly, no. it was awesome. I tell people that very often. I got so much better. I was going against the first team for the first time for 4 weeks straight. So, I was just getting better, and I just knew my opportunity was going to come. I had a bigger perspective of this league, bigger goals than just being inactive. So I wasn't discouraged by that.
You know, I like that attitude, actually, because we've faced that with, I don't know if you're still following the Kings, but Scal Labissiere, he got sent down and to the G League, and he did real well. But some guys in that position, Akilo, they pout, and they don't take advantage of all the information. So based upon that, was it someone in practice or someone that you've played against? Who's been that real difficult person for you to stick?
In practice, like difficult, like that's giving me challenge?
Yeah.
Well, it was Pierre early on in the year. That was always, awesome matchup. We would battle at practice, and I'm on the scout team. So going up against him for those 4 weeks was definitely was very helpful and kind of just gave me that next step.
How long did it take you to learn, and maybe you're still doing that, how to play with the way the game is called on the NFL level? You know, no contact after 5 yards. I mean, it almost seems like the games are almost called differently week to week, and you as a cornerback, you're out there on an island. You have to figure that out. Has that been a difficult process?
No, it hasn't. I think I had one holding penalty where I actually got pushed off on, and that's it this year. But I think that's just a testament to what I focus on, which is playing penalty free, using my athleticism to avoid people when needed, and just having confidence in my footwork that I don't need to hold, my speed that I don't need to grab anybody, and I can just play ball.
You know, now that you've pretty much got a full season underneath your belt, looking back at your time in Colorado and now with the 49ers, what's the biggest difference that you see between the two levels?
Just the speed, the urgency of every single snap. In college, not every play is coming to you, or a quarterback doesn't try you as often. But in the league, every single play has an opportunity to bust, and you have to be prepared for that at all moments.
I would also think, you know, we see some of the running backs in the NFL now, and Doug and I talk about how on earth do you tackle some of these guys? I mean, seriously, I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's they're really good. But with the tackling techniques that we were taught, it makes it easy, and you kind of rely on your brother as well to come clean it up if you don't get them down perfectly.
You know, Akilah, you just said tackling techniques, and I know with the Seahawks, Pete Carroll, they worked on some rugby style different things with tackling. Is there something particular that you guys like, grab and roll, different things? What is it that you learned different now?
Yeah, you don't put your head across. You put your head behind the runner and grab and roll.
Mm.
And with that, it's just not breaking down at all, just running full speed. And then you just take away the angle naturally, because as they adjust, you adjust, and then you just tackle the near hip.
So when you say not breaking down, so if you're running with them, you're putting your tackling form into play as you're going full speed.
Yeah, full speed. Yeah.
That's crazy, man. But okay, I got you.
Another big challenge, of course, every week in the NFL is a big challenge, but, you know, you're taking on a team. Fortunately for you and your fellow defensive backs, their leading receiver, Marquise Lee, is out, but this is a Jacksonville team that's 10-4. They have played very well. This is going to be a big challenge. This is going to be a heck of a game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're a good team, both offensively and defensively, and I think we just have to go out there and do our part on the defensive end and give our offense an opportunity. With turnovers and getting off the field on third down, just give them a chance to go win the game.
You know, with no Marquise Lee, but it looks like Fournette is going to be back. I don't know if you saw that clip of him calling on the defensive back because he wanted to lock helmets with him. A big guy like that, you said depend on your brothers. Is that kind of what you do, try to gang tackle a guy like him?
Yeah, definitely want to get everybody to the ball with a guy like him just because of his elusiveness as well.
Okay.
And same thing, though, with him. It'll just be hit him low. He's strong if you hit him up top. But no one can run without their legs. So that's kind of the approach.
Well, listen, we would appreciate it if you would say hi to your dad for us.
Yes.
Merry Christmas. Congratulations on really playing so well. It's been fun to watch you play. And, again, we hope to talk to you soon. You be well. Thanks for coming on with us.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
All right. It's good stuff. Akilah Weatherspoon of the 49ers. We've got 1 hour left. Willie Cauley-Stein also joining us when we come back right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.